Okay, this is Parshas Mishpatim, and as always, the Torah Shvi Nishmas Rav Gershom Ben Rav Aryeh, which also is this coming week. both the last week's parsha and the end of this week's parsha discuss the Ma'amad Har Sinai, revelation at Mount Sinai, and that tells us both about the fact that Klal Yisrael heard the Aseres Hadibros and certain visions that they saw and the events surrounding which took place, and the re-relating of what happened in Ma'amad Har Sinai with the extra bits of information. Most famously, the saying of Na'aseh V'Nishma is actually found at the end of this week's parsha, not at the end of last week's parsha. Hence, I'd like to begin with an essay that Rav Shimshon Rafael Hirsch brings at the beginning of this week's parsha, when he's discussing the parsha of Eved Ivri, which is the opening to our parsha. And he talks about the fact that it is a mitzvah that was extremely rare, because we know it's Ivri v'lo Ivriya, talking about when someone gets sold for having stolen. We're talking someone who was destitute, and resulting from which they went and they stole. They didn't have with what to repay, not even the keren, and that's why it says bignev asoy v'lo bikfelo. They couldn't even pay back the keren. Then they get sold by Beis Din as an eved Ivri. That can only happen if it's a male, and it can only happen if the amount that he is sold for equates to the amount that he stole, not the kefil.
And yeah, only the keren has to be cut like this.
Like that, correct, yes, yes.
And he still owes the kefil.
Yeah, in which case, it would be very rare, to have an eved ivri being sold. So I'll tell you, actually, two Sundays ago, in preparation, we weren't there last Sunday, so in preparation for this week's parsha, I took a year group, divided them into five groups of kids. In each group, there were five kids. One for Bereishis, one for Shemoyz, one for Vayikra, one for Bamidbar, one for Devarim. Each kid was given each group was given a piece of paper, and each one had to tally how many times in his sefer the following appeared. So one group I gave them Mitzvah Smidios, as many as I could find. The Mitzvah of Mila, Tzitzis, Tfilin, Shchita, all those, the daily mitzvahs. Another group I gave them Shabbos. Another group were given Yomim Tovim, Shalish Regalim, Yomim Tovim. Another group were given Yovel and Shmita. The other group was given Eved Ivri, Amo Ivriya, Avadim. And fascinatingly, we would have thought, it was absolutely counterintuitive to what we would have thought. We would have thought the mitzvahs that we perform most regularly would be most found in the Torah. There were more psukim dealing with Shmita and Yovel and the Shalish Regalim than all the rest together, than Shabbos, Mitzvahs, Tmidios, many, many more mitzvahs. And this is one of the things that Rav Shimshon Rafael Hirsch points out over here. In his essay, he explains that many, many psukim are devoted to mitzvahs which are very, very uncommon. And the mitzvahs that are more common, we devote very few psukim to, firstly. And he said that really we need to look at the history of what took place in the Midbar and then rationalize it with the analogy that he gives. Klal Yisrael, as we know, revelation at Mount Sinai, Ma'amad Har Sinai took place on Shavuos of that year, on either Vav or Zayin Sivan. And at that point, all Klal Yisrael heard was the Aseres Hadibros. They didn't actually receive anything yet. And even at the end of this week's parasha, when it says that Moshe Rabbeinu read from the Sefer HaBris, he gave nothing to Klal Yisrael. He maybe read up from the Sefer HaBris, which contained from Bereishis up until this point, but nothing further. And certainly nothing physical was given to Klal Yisrael at Har Sinai. It was only when he descended with the Luchos Rishonos, and unfortunately we weren't zoche to get them, and he then went up for another 80 days to get the Luchos Shniyos, eventually came down in Yom Kippur, and finally we received something, a set of luchos, which contained in them the Aseres Hadibros. But still, there's no Sefer Torah. It's only right at the end of Moshe Rabbeinu's life, just before Klal Yisrael are about to exit the Midbar, that Moshe Rabbeinu gives his magnus opus, which is his Sefer Torah. He presents that to Klal Yisrael. But up until that point, Klal Yisrael did not have a Sefer Torah. So how were they keeping mitzvahs? How were they keeping Tariag mitzvahs? How are they keeping tefillin, tzitzis, Shabbos, Yom Tov? The answer is, Moshe Rabbeinu was teaching it to them as Torah Sheba'al Peh. And therefore, as far as mitzvahs are concerned, the first thing that Klal Yisrael received was Torah Sheba'al Peh, not Torah Shevikzav. And for 38 and a half years in the Midbar, they learned Torah Sheba'al Peh, Torah Sheba'al Peh, Torah Sheba'al Peh. Until at the end of Moshe Rabbeinu's life, he comes and he presents them a Sefer Torah. Says Rav Shimshon Farhish, the analogy of this would be a student sitting in a science lecture, let's call it a nuclear physics lecture, and he's taking notes. And someone who wasn't present at the lecture gets hold of those notes, and maybe will plan to make some sort of nuclear power from those notes. No, he's probably going to end up making nuclear disaster. If he then begins to criticize those notes, remember he wasn't present at the lecture, and he starts to query, why have you cross-referenced this? Why have you underlined that? Why have you starred this? Why have you done this in that way? My friend, were you at the lecture? Did you hear what was being said? How can you criticize the notes if you weren't present when the lecture was given upon which the notes were written? Says Rav Shimshon of Al Hish, Moshe Rabbeinu came to Klal Yisrael at the end of his life and said, Klal Yisrael, I've been teaching you Torah Sheba'al Peh. I've been giving you this shiur, this lecture, for almost 40 years. Of Torah Sheba'al Peh. And any day, at any point, in any time that you had a query about any of those mitzvahs, you came to me. And I informed you. Or you went to the Sanhedrin, and when they had a problem, when they didn't know, they came to me and I informed them. And if I didn't know, I went to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he informed me and I informed them and they informed you. But we had a system whereby I was teaching you, I was giving that shiur for almost 40 years. I'm about to leave you. So I'm going to leave you notes on my shiur. And that is Torah Shebiksav. With all the oddities that are found and all the strange ways that Torah seems to have been written, in some places it seems to be chosa, in some places mole, in some places the tenses seem to be incorrect, in some places it seems to be plural instead of singular and vice versa, some of which we'll Be'ez Hashem see tonight. Those have all been written because they are the notes on the Torah Sheba'al Peh lecture that Moshe Rabbeinu has been giving Klal Yisrael in the Midbar. And therefore when he leaves, he presents them with his Torah Shebiksav, which is notes as reminders for the shiur they've been hearing for the last 40 years. So that when Klal Yisrael read through the Torah once every 3 years and now once every year, we have reminders for ourselves about the mitzvahs. About which mitzvahs do we require more of a reminder? The ones that we keep more regularly or the ones that are more rare? The ones that are less frequent? The ones we're keeping regularly, we have daily or weekly reminders about, so we don't need extensive notes on them to keep us up to speed with how we have to keep them. Hence, says Rav Shimshon Farhish, Shita is done every day. One word, Vezavachta, suffices to remind us about Shita. And the Psulim of Shita, so we discuss them, we know them. Shabbos is once every week, so we need less reminders, less notes to remind us about the intricate details of Shabbos. Tefillin, we don't need many Psukim to tell us about the great detail. It's enough to say in one place, L'toy Tofes, L'ois. In another place, it's enough to say, L'ois Al Yodecho. And to where it's meant to be, we don't need too much description about it. Same with tzitzis, and same with all mitzvahs that we perform on a daily or weekly basis. The mitzvahs that are performed only once a year, for example, Shalish Regalim, or certainly Shmita once every 7 years, Yovel once every 50 years, and Avodim, which was very rare, those require more extensive notes because we require more of a reminder because we less frequently engage in those types of mitzvahs.
From what you said, it sounds like Torah Sheba'al Peh was more hikkur than the Shabbos.
Yes! That's the amazing thing!
So why, when we learn Gemara, etc., are we always looking to find proofs and duke him in Torah Sheba'al Peh? It should be the other way around.
Because we're looking, so what we're looking there for is to say, right, Moshe Rabbeinu left us notes, which is meant to guide us to know that we've kept the right thing. So we've been in Golos, so we've been keeping this Torah Sheba'al Peh. We now in the Gemara trying to find out, so we learn, we know we keep this halacha. Where's it sourced? Where's it hinted to? Where in the notes will we find that our Nevi Hashem, who was inspired and had Ruach HaKodesh from HaKodesh Baruch Hu, and Benavuah wrote these notes, where do we find hinted to the way we keep what we keep? And if someone comes along with a different opinion, well, where do you find your opinion hinted to in that Torah? It's not going to be explicit. It's not going to be erudite and explained in a very... A profound way, but it will be hinted to. And hence, anytime even Chazal wanted to come along throughout history and make certain takanas, they always needed to find a smach in the Torah. Where in the notes, there's something that's hinted there, that's written, that gives you that understanding.
Then that's making a little Shibik Sav more thicker than a little Baal Peh then.
So Torah Shibik Sav is what was given by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe Rabbeinu for us to have the notes. Yet, what proceeded, what were we busy with? We were busy with Torah Shebaal Peh. And that preceded the Torah Shebiksav that we received. An amazing, amazing insight, and it gives a whole new dimension to learning Torah Shebaal Peh. And when you have Bible critics, or people who come along to query and question, or chas v'shalom ridicule the Torah, the question is, have you heard the lecture? Do you know Torah Shebaal Peh? If we know Torah Shebaal Peh, you'll understand why there are these oddities, why this is plural, why that is singular, why that's in past tense, why that's in the future tense, why that's a chosse, why that's a male. All these things are there because halachas are learned out of them. And us today, who are limited, resulting from the Yerides Hadoris and the Golos that we've been through, so we have our Rishonim and Achronim who came along, and that's one of the Ikka things that Rashi does. He points out for us at each point, hey, that's odd, that doesn't seem to make sense, that doesn't seem to flow according. Exactly, you're right, good query, but this is what it's doing. It's reminding us about that mitzvah, it's giving me notes about that mitzvah, it's giving me notes about that halacha, etc., etc. It's a fascinating, I hope I've given it over in a me'en, but have a look at Rav Shimshon Fa'al Hish, particularly in the old edition, and it's fascinating, fascinating.
It's on his Pirush HaChumash?
Pirush HaChumash, yeah, the beginning of this week's parasha. Just give an example for this, an example. In our parasha, we're told one of the things that a person is responsible for if they dig a pit in a Rishus HaRabim. Dig a boy in Rishus HaRabim. What's the halacha if someone digs a boy in Rishus HaRabim? Well, he's responsible for it. Perek Chof Al Apostle Lama Gimel. V'chi yiftach ish boy, or v'chi yichra ish boy. If someone opens a pit, or someone digs a pit, v'lo yichasenu, and doesn't cover it. Well, if you dig it and don't cover it, you've left it open. So what's the first part of the pasuk? What are we talking about if you open a pit, or you dig one and leave it open, and then someone falls in, or shor hachamer, etc., then there's a chiyuv to pay. So Chazal tell us, what's this double lashon? It's telling us a halacha. Says Rashi, v'chi yiftach ish boir, shehoyo mechuse v'gilo. You had a covered pit, someone had dug a manhole, and put a lid on. And I went and removed that lid. One case. Or I went and I actually dug that pit. Lama nema, why does I have to say it? If I open up an existing pit, I'm chayev. Well, obviously I'm chayev if I dig a pit, says Rashi. Lama nema. Why does I have to say oiki yichre? Im ala psicha chayev, ala kriya lo kol shekein. If we're just taking the lid off, I'm chayev. Kol shekein for actually making the pit in the first place. Elo lahovi koira acha koira shu chayev. It's actually coming to tell us, no, what I dug was only the last tefach. Nine tefachim were dug by someone else. I came and dug the last tefach. So there you may have thought, there's shnayim she'asu, shleisha she'asu, we're all, you can't really blame me, I only did the last tefach, and a tefach on its own isn't sufficient. Kamash malon, no, if you dug it to the depth that will cause damage, then you are chayav for doing that last bit. So, ki yivtach ish boy, if someone takes the lid off, and obviously if someone digs an entire boy, they're chayav. Or ki yichra, and even if I dig the last bit, I'm also chayav. What's the difference between these two? The first case, ki yiftach boir, means I take a lid off a boir that's a real boir. That's a boir of 10 tefachim. Or ki yichra ish boir means I came in, I dug a boir that wasn't yet 10 tefachim, but I made it 10 tefachim. Says the Chasam Sofer, now look at the pasuk. The first time it mentions the word boir, it's mali. The second time it writes the word boir, it's chosse. Ki yiftach ish boir, if I open up a boir, a mali boir, a real boir, a full boy, a 10 tefachim boy. What? I took the lid off. I'm chayv because it's already 10 tefachim. Oiki yichra ish boy, choser. It wasn't a real boy yet. What did I do? I was the kriya. I did the extra little digging and made it into a boy. That's what I'm chayv for. So even in the word boy, it shows the Chasam Sofer, the notes show us, that Rabbeinu Shalom and Moshe Rabbeinu have shown us that there's a difference between these two just by these little notes, these nuances that are there, are notes on the Torah Shebaal Peh that we have. Moving just for a bit towards the end of the parasha, the Torah tells us in Perek Chof Dalet Pasuk Yud Ches, "Vayhi Moshe Bahor Arboim Yoim VaArboim Laila." Moshe Rabbeinu was on the mountain on Har Sinai, following Mamad Har Sinai. He was there for 40 days and 40 nights. The last pasuk in the parasha. "Vayavoy Moshe B'Soicha Ona Vayale Lahor Vayhi Moshe Bahor Arboim Yoim VaArboim Laila." He was there for 40 days and 40 nights. Says the Eben Ezra, "Vayimayish b'har shelo yorad, v'kosuv al eileho arboim yoim lechem lo yochalti umayim lo shosisi, v'ze pele gadol lo niya kamoyu lefanam." There was no precedent for this. Okay. So he was there for 40 days and 40 nights. Says the Pirkei Rabbi Elazar in Perek Mem Vov. That Rabbi Shua ben Karcha learns from here that for Mem Yoim Osa Weshem Bahar, Kore B'mikro B'yoim, V'shoyne B'mishno B'alayla. He learned Mikro by day and Mishnah by night. And from there we learn that daytime is reserved for Torah Shebiksav, nighttime is reserved for Torah Shebalpeh. Says Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, we see that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam created a world which was day and night, night and day. That means there are times when there is light, and there's times when there's no light. And he gave for each time zone a Torah relevant for it. When there's light, he's giving you something that you can read. It's called Torah Shebiksav, and that's what you do by day. And when it's dark, he's given us a Torah that we're not allowed to write down, so it has to be learned. Baal Peh, and there was Torah Shebaal Peh. Okay. Asks Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. We know there's a halacha. Dvarim Shebiksav osur la'imran Baal Peh. Dvarim Shebaal Peh I ato rashai lekoisvam. Think Torah Shebiksav, you're not allowed to say Baal Peh. So on Tosfos in Yuma about certain things that you are allowed to say, things that have become more rugged, perhaps Shira, etc., etc. But Torah Shebiksav, you're not allowed to say Baal Peh. Torah Shebiksav, Baal Peh, we're not allowed to write down. Yet we find, more today than ever, that somehow there are haskamas from Gedolei Yisrael on the whole of Torah Shebaal Peh being written down in every single language. Well, what happened to that halacha of Torah Shebiksav? And we know that Torah Shebiksav is being sent by Alper as well. He says, there's certain halacha, you see, halacha hasn't changed. Sorry. Okay, we're going to come to that. He says, but how does that all work? You know, we shake the same lulav that they all shook. We blow the same shofar that they all blew. And we blow it and take it and shake it and blow it at the same time they did and don't do it at the same time that Chazal did. That seems to have remained a constant. The mitzvah of Talmud Torah seems over the generations to have been shifted from one minig to another minig to another minig. So we know, what was Torah meant to have been? Torah was meant to have been that every father was meant to teach his son Torah. So we know it came time at the time to Rabbi Shua ben Gamla, when he saw that, as the Gemara in Bava Basra tells us, and he saw that Torah wasn't being taught but in the way it was, and there was many Amaratim, and that would only increase. So he went, and Chazal went, and they said, Ulamadatem oisam, Velimadatem oisam, Ulamadatem oisam. And they learned from, instead from that, Velimadatem atem, Kralishalem achiyuv, to make sure that Torah is taught. So what did they do? They went and they put Melamdei Tinokes in Yerushalayim, because of the Pasuk, Ki Mitziyem Teitzei Torah. So we're going to have Melamde, anyone and everyone should take their child to Yerushalayim, and they should have their child taught in Yerushalayim. Well, you weren't going to take toddlers to live there on their own. So when a child reached age 16, 17, says the Gemara, they took him up to Yerushalayim. Yeah. 16, 17 year old starting. Umisha Rabbi Koye Salov, I says it was already then, if his Rebbe got angry with him, Mavai Bobi Yotze. He walked out. He wasn't going to tolerate me. He wasn't used to being mechunach in being able to be taught Torah. Came along Rabbi Shimon ben Gamla and he said, you know what we're going to have to do? We need to make sure that we've got to melamdim b'chol ir ve'ir, and they should already start at age 6 or 7. So you see that it changed. You find the Mishnah in Ovah says, we've had ben chomesh le'mikra, ben eser le'mishnah, ben chomesh eser le'gemara. And that was the halacha. So first you learn Torah Shebiksav, the entire Torah Shebiksav, Tanakh, and then you move on to Mishnah, and then you move on to Gemara. But we look at the Bach and the Shach and Hichos Talmud Torah, and they tell us that within our Doris, and that's the Minhag in our Doris as well, that Tanakh, or Nach certainly, seems to have been a little neglected, if we're allowed to say that word, and not as profoundly learnt as Torah Shebaal Peh. And you see, the Shach in Yerodea tries to find reasons for these transformations that have happened over time. We also find in the times of Rebbe, so the Gemara says that Gemara ein lecha midah gedolah mizu. The Gemara above Matzia Lama Gimel. And then the Gemara changed and said, So again, the mitzvah of Talmud Torah seems to have gone through a transformation. What happened? How has this all taken place? So Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky has an amazing essay at the end of this week's parasha. And he says, Yesoid Hadovar B'chol Eile Lefi Da'ati Hu. There's a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. And we know Godel Talmud Shemevi Lidei Maisa. The Ikka is the meisa. The ikka is the action, is the performance of mitzvahs. We certainly can't perform them if we don't know how to. So we need to learn them in order to be able to do them. But the way you are going to define the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is a Talmud shemevi lidei meisa. And at every stage, the Gedolei Hador would have to define, and the Gedolei Yisrael would have to define for their generation, is this limud a limud that's maybe lidei meisa? And if we see that the limud that is existing is not bringing lidei meisa, for example, the 16, 17-year-olds, it's just not bringing them lidei meisa, they're arriving too late. And you're right, we've got a possible kimitzian to Yisrael, and therefore you should really go and turn in Yerushalayim, and they should be able to see the avodah that's going on there, and be able to be... to soak into themselves and be imbibed with all the kedusha and tahara that's there, but it's not working. It's too late, and that's not bringing klal Yisrael lidei meisa. So we have to therefore reform in a certain way the way we approach the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. We've got to begin it earlier and make sure every father can't do it. Okay, so we're going to change it now. Instead, it's going to be that we're going to have melamdim not just in every area, not in every province, but we're going to have in every single city, and they're going to be there. And that's in order to facilitate and ensure that Klal Yisrael are always learning the Torah that brings them Lidei Maisa.
This is
the last shtickle in this week's parasha. So he says that you see in the Gemara, it says that initially there was a time at Shechibah Rabbeinu HaKadosh Chibah HaMishnah Mivnei Miut HaLevavos HaLidei HaTzor Shalach HaNisgabru. Rabbeinu HaKadosh only wrote and compiled the Mishnah because there was many things that were being forgotten. But up until that point, how were they paskening? They would look in Torah and find them a source and then pasken halacha. But Me'oz Parishchilo Torah Shebal Peh Litchoy Gragli Torah Shebiksav, because they started to use svaras. And only sometimes they pasken from the Torah. And then they went on to the Midos Shatar and Nidreshes Bohem. And then you came to the end of the Tkuf of the Amoraim, and from now a halacha, ain halacha yoitzes mitoch hamikra, and a mitoch hamishnah v'hagemara. So you've got then the Rabbi Nisadigon, the Rambam, the Ramban, etc., and they brought the kitzu pischei halachas. What was the point? Because we need to have a type of Torah that's going to be maybe lidei maisa. So when Rabbeinu HaKadosh saw that the Limud HaTorah of Torah Sheba'al Peh wasn't being able to be learnt in as proficient a way just by being given over Ba'al Peh, Midor L'Dor, and a lot of it will be forgotten and therefore a lot of it won't be kept. So we have to start to write it down. And the Rishonim felt that as there was a Miut HaLevavos and there was Yiridus HaDoros, more needs to be written down. And more needs to be written down. And the fact that today you've got Haskamas from all the Gedolei Yisrael on a huge proliferation of Torah in every single language, the reason for that is because Talmud Torah, the Geder of Talmud Torah, is Torah HaMaviyah Lidei Maisa. And if we don't have it translated into every single language, because of the Yiridus HaDoros that we're in, we wouldn't be able to master any amount of Torah and be able to keep it at all. Hence, it's written in a way in concise Piskei Halachas, which should be made more concise and more concise and more concise, and in multiple different languages, kedei, that we should have a Talmud Torah, Hamavi Olidei Maisa. And that's why, in the yeshiva system today, there is less of a learning, an emphasis put on the learning of Nach, because, yeah, we could spend a lot of time learning Nach, and you're right, a person needs to know the Chof Dalet Sifri Nach, like a Kalo is Miskashetes, the Chof Dalet, Hishutim, so too, a Talmud Chacham needs to have the Chof Dalet. But the emphasis isn't on that today. Why not? Because we need to bring Klal Yisrael to Lidei Maisa. We need a Talmud Torah Hamaviyah Lidei Maisa. So the Ikka focus is on Hamaviyah Lidei Maisa. It's a fascinating thing. You know, it's the fellow we spoke about at the beginning of the Eber Divri. He's a thief. And we take this thief and we say to him, right, you know what we want you to do? What would you normally do with a thief? Well, today in any judicial system in the world, they stick him, they put him in cheder, hamachuna prison, and he basically what he does there is he spends time with all the other thieves and just learns how not to get caught next time, or how to do a better job, or how to, and the Torah says we don't want that. We're actually going to take him and ask someone to buy him. But who in their right mind would buy a thief to live in their home? Who would take the risk of buying a thief to live in their home? Nishna them. A thief, well, I've got a treat. Like, he's mamash the Kotel HaTor. So I've only got one of this, and whatever's the best, he gets. So Chazal, that's exactly what the Torah wanted for his rehabilitation. The Torah wanted us to take in this fellow and rehabilitate him to the extent that he's going to spend time and think to him and watch how he's being treated in this most wonderful way. When he knows himself he doesn't deserve it, that by the time the 6 years are up, and remember, the only time a person who's going to take in a thief and treat him like that has got to be someone who's got midas niflois. It's got to be someone who's really a unique person in Klal Yisrael. So that's what we look for, and that's exactly what we want, because it will rub off. That by the time he leaves, hopefully, he'll be going out to help the rest of Klal Yisrael rather than returning to the ways that he was. It's an amazing, amazing, amazing piece of what I saw written by Rav Shach in his Hakdama to Avi Ezri, where he says, you know, when we do mitzvahs, we're unsure, or we're pretty sure that we haven't done the mitzvah b'shleimus. We have the right machshavas and the right tzugang, and is it really being done b'shleimus? So we've always got this worry that maybe our schar isn't to the extent that we want it to be. Says Rav Shach, I have an eitzah. He says, that's all with regards to our own personal mitzvahs. That we're not batuach in whether our mitzvahs are mass and favor are going to really help us out. He says, but, because they've got many chesroinus, on the lishma, etc., etc. He says, but I have an eitzah. Be mezakeh es harabim to do mitzvahs. To learn Torah and do mitzvahs. Because we know that kol ha-mezakeh es harabim, sus harabim tolu iboy. Now, I'm mezakeh them to do a mitzvah. How they then go and do the mitzvah, that's the cheshbon, how the Rabbeinu Shalom has limited them, or in some cases, all of us, to be able to do mitzvahs in the way that we do it. Rabbi says Rav Shach, kol yochid b'fnei atzmai, ein lo kesher im kal yisrael, v'hu perish me'atzibur, ozu b'sakonim, u'mi yitzdak lefonov, b'yoy p'kudu, b'yoy madin agodah v'anera, v'ha itza lo kol echad, la'as is ma'asim, ha'mevim to'eles la'am yisrael. That's one lashon that he uses. And what? How does that help? And therefore, the chaser in the mitzvah is not looked at. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, right, you encourage people to help Klal Yisrael, and that helps that a person is zoicha, that he says a beautiful thing. That some people are worried sometimes, you know, if I'm going to be mezakeh sarabim, what's going to happen with my own family? So obviously that's always a cheshbon a person has to take and be very careful about it. But once one has been given the hadrocha from a godel shebi Yisrael or from one's rebbe, that this is the zikra rabbin they got to do, said the stipend in the name of the chasam sofer, in his akdama to Yeredeya, that the pasuk says, kol hayoyim choyneinu malve v'zari livrocha. If a person is choyneinu malve, meaning he's mezakeh sarabim, then he's zoicha, the father is zoicha, that his children will have a bracha. And the Chavetz Chaim, the Briskerov, they all gave that bracha. But what he's saying over here is, I've got an opportunity to influence this Eved Ivri. And obviously I'm going to make sure that I'm going to be the right influence before I take him in. I've got an opportunity to influence this Eved Ivri, and then he will go on and influence another person, and he will go on and influence another person. And that's an opportunity to be mezakeh sarabim, rather than him sitting together with others who necessarily will not bring him to where he needs to get to. Now, when that Eved Ivri leaves, it's not spoken about here, but it's spoken about in Sefer Devarim, there's a mitzvah of ha'anaka. You've got to give him gifts when he leaves. The Yerushalmi tells us, Klal Yisrael were given the mitzvah of shiluach avodim. We know in Devarim it's all a repetition of things that have been there before. So it's written mitoch dovah shenischadish son, but it's really Mishneh Torah. Where were they taught it first? Says the Yerushalmi, they were taught it. We quoted a Meshach Chachma that brings this a few weeks ago. In Mitzrayim, just before they were freed, they were told about shiluach avodim. And the question is asked, why were they told about it then?
That's when they felt it.
Oh, you know, the Medrash tells us that Nero and Caesar was once, the enemies were waging war against him, and he was on the run. And they were after him. Obviously, once you get the king's head, you've won. So he went into the house of one of his servants, and he hid there. And the enemy soldiers came in. They went house to house searching for him, and they came in to look for him, and everyone was petrified and afraid. And they went, and they turned everything over, and they lifted things up, and he was under a whole load of pile of whatever it was, and for some reason they searched the pile. It didn't get to the bottom of the pile. And then the wind of change in the battle took place, and eventually he came out victorious. So he went back to that servant of his who had housed him, who had saved him, and he said, called him into the victory parade, and he said, I want to give you something. Ask whatever you want. Whatever you want, I'll give you. So the servant says to him, I want you to tell me how you were feeling at that moment that they were almost about to pull the last blanket off your head. So he looks at him and he says, this guy's mad. I've just offered him anything. And he comes and asks you how I was feeling at that moment. A chutzpah. Says, so take him. He's getting hanged in 3 days. I'm hanging him. That's shocked. Gets pulled away. 3 days later, the king comes. The gallows have been prepared. He puts him on the gallows. Puts the noose around his neck. 3, 2. And then he whispers in his ear, this is what I felt like. Says, you wanted to know what I'm going to tell you. How it felt? It was very, very scary. It was petrifying. Oh, you're going to, how do I describe it? You can't articulate feelings. But I had to put you through. Now you know what it means being a second away from death. That's what I felt like. We wanted them to feel for the Eved when they're sending him free. So when did HaKadosh Baruch Hu give us that mitzvah? At the moment that we could feel it. And he gave it to us at the time of Shiloh HaChavadim. I was thinking maybe by extension you could add on to that. We know that a tam, you can't, that's why a tam, hamitzvah is explained as that. You can't explain a taste. You will always, you'll associate it. Do you know what that tastes like? Well, it's a bit like that, but a bit more sweet or a bit more bitter, etc., etc. The same is with Torah. Someone comes along and says, well, can you explain to me like how geschmack is Torah? The answer is I can't. Tamu uru'u kitay v'ashem. Torah mitzvahs, get involved. Bring people to be more involved. That's how we'll show them that it actually does have that tam, does have that geschmack. There's an amazing piece of Eben Ezra in Perek Chof Beis, the beginning of the middle of Perek Chof Beis in this week's parasha. We're talking there. The pasuk says, "V'ger lo yisoneh," a person shouldn't chepe a ger. "V'lo yisol chotenu," shouldn't put him under excess pressure, any pressure. "Ki gerim yisam b'mitzrayim," so just remember that we were gerim in Mitzrayim as well. "Kol almona v'yosim lo yisanun," and one shouldn't chepe or cause any sort of pain or grief to an almona and a yosim. "In anis ane oisoi," because if one does do that, and Rashi says it's an open-ended statement, which means just watch out. "Ki yimtoi gitzakir," and if he davens to me, I'll also listen. First of all, Rashi says, "Kol almona v'yosim lo yisanun hu hadin l'chol odom." This issa to be ma'aneh a person applies to every single yid. It happens to be that in a certain way they are teshushay koyach, and therefore it's motzul la'anoisam. I mean, it applies to everyone. Eben Ezra points out a very interesting thing. He says, if we look at the psukim, we'll see over here it says v'ger lo yisoyne v'lo yisil chotenu. Then it says kol amono v'yosoyim lo yisa anun, plural. Im anei sa aneh. So loisa anon, you plural, shouldn't cause him inui. Im anesa ane, if you singular do it, why is it changing from plural to singular? Says the Eben Ezra, v'achash omar loisa anun loshen rabim, omar im ta'ane, which is in loshen yochid, ki kol roya odom shuhu ma'ane yosem v'amona, v'loye azreim, gam hu yechoshev ma'ane. Anyone who sees, and Rashi says that it's an extension to really anyone in Klal Yisrael. So that part of the Eben Ezra is, if we see someone else being put under a difficult time, step in. Because the Rabbeinu Shem will have a taina on us that we didn't stop someone else being shepherd. It goes from Rabbim to Yochid back to Rabbim. Says the Eben Ezra, we've got to be careful about every single person's feelings. To the extent that goes, I saw an amazing, amazing thing this week. Remalech Biederman brings in his parashit this week that recently there was a person who went, there was a yid in somewhere in Eretz Yisrael, an old yid who had been a Baal Tefillah in a particular shul and was a Baal Tefillah for a long time, and never he had a stroke. He was unable to be the Baal Tefillah. When he came to some sort of level of recovery, started going back to shul. And for Shetzach, he wanted to be able to daven again. For him, that gave him excuse. So he would go to the Omud, but unfortunately, he would get very mixed up with the davening. And he'd start to jumble davening and get mixed up the order, etc., etc. So for Shetzach, a few people left and stopped davening there, etc. And then they broke out a machlekes in the shul. do we like sort of tell him he can't daven anymore? Maybe, you know, you can't have him davening. It's said, you know what, we'll go to Reb Chaim Kanievsky. And we'll ask him what we should do. The extent that he would start Ato Echo Vashim, Echod Ritzeh Hashem Alekin, Ma'amcha Yisrael, completely leaving out bits. So they went to Reb Chaim Kanievsky. And Reb Chaim's tshuva was, Heyois Shekol Chiyusoy Shal Ish, B'matzav Kozeh, Enoi Ela Mea Tfilo Lifnei Ha'amud. Since his whole chiyus is from davening in front of the Amud, V'hari Atfilo Midrabanon Hi, Le'umasa Letzair Ish Mi Yisrael Hu Midai Raisa. And therefore you let him carry on davening. And I've said this story, but it's an Ilun Shabbos, I'll say it again.
Could be a proper davening for the Kehilif.
Yeah, so it's the Rabbanon, so they won't have it. Oh, with the Daraisa. The Daraisa of another Yid's feelings. So my Shver Zechoni Baruch is Yotzei this coming week Chof Tes Shvat, and I've said this over many times, but I'll say it over again. Someone from who some of you may know, one a member of his Kehila, some of you may have met him, respectable High Court judge, once saw him one morning pouring out an expensive bottle of whiskey down the sink. And he knew that, at least at that point in his life, he was still a whiskey lover. And he went over to him and he said, Diane, can you just explain to me what, you know, he knew he would be late for work engaging in this conversation, but what are you doing pouring this whiskey down the sink? So it was shortly after Pesach. He said, look, this is whiskey. This fellow doesn't sell his chametz. He never sold his chametz. And it's chametz shavu lava Pesach. So Midrabanon, it's chametz noik, maybe Midrabanon, you've got to throw it out. So he said, well, how do you know that he didn't sell his chametz? He said, well, because I'm the Rav here, I sell everyone's chametz. And he actually used to, people who didn't come to sell it to him, he would go round to them and go round to their houses and call them up to be mezaka them, to be at least sell their chametz, they shouldn't be nichshal in owning chametz of a Pesach. She said, look, I know he didn't sell his chametz. She said, okay, but how do you know he didn't buy it since Pesach? He said, well, you know, after davening, said to him, hey, whatever his name was, Ralph, where did you get that whiskey from? Great bottle of whiskey, where did you get that? He says, oh, when I was on holiday in the winter in wherever place, I bought it on my way back. Fine, so I know he's had it over Pesach. It's Chomet Shalav on Pesach. He says, okay, but Diane, I don't understand. If we're not allowed to drink it, then why didn't you announce after davening when everyone was having the lechayim for the yahrzeit of this fellow, why didn't you announce that it's Chomet Shalav on Pesach and no one should drink it? He said, whoa. He said, that's a derabbanan. To shame a Yid in public, that's a deraisa. And that is how Gedolim or Poskim lived, with a clarity of mind that it's about having the correct equilibrium, but knowing what's deraisa, what's derabanan. So a person who means, I'm going to miss my Chazorot HaShabbat. Yeah. Oh, but it's tzar for another Yid, and that's deraisa. And therefore, I'll forego that in order to, says the Ibn Ezra, that's how careful we have to be. The Rabbeinu Shalom, and this is a fascinating thing, that straight after the parasha about Maimad Har Sinai, in fact, the parasha of Maimad Har Sinai of Yisroi, and the end of this week's parasha, which is a re-relating and continuation of Maimad Har Sinai, has sandwiched between those two, which mitzvahs? The mitzvahs of Bin Adon HaChaver. The mitzvahs of how to treat someone else's property, how to treat someone else's, someone else. That comes over here. Because that's real Kedusha. Kedusha's Klal Yisrael is defined by how we treat one another. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us that tzchus, that we should be able to really look after one another, and V'ahavta Re'echa Kamecha should be so profound in Klal Yisrael, and so cherished, and so kept, that Be'ez Hashem, that should be the tikkun for the goddess that we're in, and we should be zeichet to Kula Shlema, a good Shabbos, a good Chodesh, and Be'ez Hashem, next week will be Rosh Chodesh Adar, and we'll be able to be Mishanichnas Adar, Marvin B'Simcha, which should lead us only from one Simcha to another Simcha, and we should be able to join in Simchas, Bifrat, Bichlal, Amen. I thank you for coming and I thank you for listening.